Comrade Jumbo, Rustavelli Avenue. This is Spielpot.com coming to you from our studio high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 18th of October, 2012. On this date in 1469, Ferdinand and Isabella were married, thereby uniting Spain. In 1648, Boston shoemakers formed the first U.S. labor organization. In 1769, the Mason-Dixon line is drawn between Pennsylvania and Maryland. In 1775, Portland, Maine, formerly Falmouth, was burned down, prompting the Continental Congress to establish the U.S. Navy. In 1851, Herman Melville comes out with Moby Dick. In 1867, Russia formally sold Alaska to the United States. In 1898, the U.S. takes control of Puerto Rico. In 1922, the British Broadcasting Company was founded. That's the BBC. In 1945, Argentine military officer and politician Juan Perón marries hot actress Eva Perón. In 1954, Texas Instruments in Dallas, Texas, announces the first transistor radio. In 1991, the Supreme Council of Azerbaijan declared independence from the Soviet Union. Today is the day of St. Georgi of Khansta. He is the Georgian writer and religious leader who built monasteries in Klarjeti. Birthdays today are Levon Kenia, Georgian soccer player, Nodar Modebladze, famous Georgian freestyle wrestler, Jesse Helms, who is the reason that USAID is now a part of the State Department, Chuck Berry, Lee Harvey Oswald, Mike Ditka, and Bristol Palin. This week's Fides Polythra and Georgian Journal column of mine is about how the new government should create a vision for Georgia that will say what the country should look like in some point beyond the political horizon, involve a bunch of NGOs and foreigners, etc. No Cameron today, sorry about that. We are just Matthias and me. Nothing we say has been authorized or has anything to do with anybody we work for or are connected with. So, most of the stories this week are focusing on the, and the Facebook chatter, I might add, are focusing on the final ministerial appointments and what's going on in the media. Bidzina Ivanishvili was granted Georgian citizenship by very magnanimous presidential decree. This will take effect as soon as Bidzina's French citizenship has ended, a process which his lawyers say was begun in December.
Who knew that it was that easy to give him citizenship?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just boop, yeah, you know, yeah.
One signature.
Just, there you go. Wow. Yesterday, Misha officially nominated Bidzina for the post of premier, and in a statement posted on the president of Georgia's website, he called on the acting parliament to approve the new government as soon as possible. Rustavioti reports that the first session of parliament will take place in Kutaisi at 1 p.m. on Sunday, October 21st. I thought it was the 20th, Saturday. Isn't it the 20th by law?
No. Well, 20 days after the election, I think. So maybe
that's the 21st now? Okay. Sunday. Seems a little sacrilegious, but okay, whatever.
Maybe they also need an extra day to kind of finish the parliament building.
Okay, come on. But afterwards, Georgian Dream plans to move the parliament back to Tbilisi, a change that would require an amendment to the constitution and therefore a constitutional majority, which it does not have, but who knows. Bidzina's new ministerial nominations this week are for finance minister Nodar Khaduri. Khaduri has stated that the Georgian Dream will put forward their own 2013 draft budget, which will prioritize education, health, and agriculture.
Right, and so they're withdrawing the UNM proposed budget. So there was already a draft in the parliament, but the Georgian Dream says we're not going to deal with that. We're going to do our new one. But I think they don't have much time. I mean, they need to be very, very quick on that one.
What'll be interesting to see is whether they keep all the presidential funds and that sort of stuff. There was an enormous and increasingly large portion of the budget was discretionary funds, not particularly well reported on. And so it would be nice if they decide to rein those in. For regional development and infrastructure, Dato Narmania, Bidzina plans to get rid of this ministry and hand over some of the functions to the economy ministry. and others to the planned regional development office. When this happens, Narmania will be appointed deputy finance minister. Kaja Kaladze, the famous soccer player, has now been put forward as energy minister and the vice premiership.
How many vice premiers are there, two? Or?
14, I think.
Seriously?
I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, yeah, hey, why not? I have another one. Who cares? Sure. Sort of like deputy speakers of parliament. I mean, they're like four or something. Yeah. Kaladze has stated he wants to, I mean, at least I don't know what the deal is with being deputy premier, but what the reason everybody wanted to be a deputy speaker is because it meant you got your own office in the parliament building. Okay. So, Kaladze stated he wants to scrap big hydropower plants and give priority to renewable energy. Quote, "We don't want to develop the energy sector at the expense of the environment. Wind and solar energy may be quite expensive, but we should think about moving in that direction," end quote.
But is there the potential for so much solar and,
you know,
wind?
Listen, the guy got appointed 2 days ago, right, and he's a professional soccer player. Okay, now, I've gotten a lot of flack on Facebook for this, but I say cut the guy some slack. First of all, that's a very thoughtful thing. Certainly never anything that I heard from anybody in a position of power in the national movement. You know, and eventually figured out. Also, he was asked at some point, you know, "Do you know anything about energy?" by some cruel and bitter journalist, you know, and he said,
Gotcha question,
right? And he had the excellent answer of, "No, I don't really know anything about energy," which I thought, you know, that
it's
was
refreshing.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely. You know, so I'd say, you know, just give Kaji a little chance here, all right?
Ministry of Economy.
Right, Ministry of Economy will be Gheorghe Kvirikashvili, who was the general director of Kartu Bank. He says that the ministry will focus on returning Georgian production to the Russian market. Nobody really knows a whole lot about this guy.
But the World Trade Organization should make that happen anyways. You would hope that it doesn't require that much focus from the minister.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll see. I mean, the Ministry of Economy was essentially... I was never really too clear on the difference between the Investment Promotion Agency and the Ministry of Economy. They seem to be pretty similar. The Ministry of Economy doing bigger stuff, you know.
Also privatizations when necessary.
Right. I mean, it has a lot of... It has quite a bit of power. The privatization one being an important one. Dato Darakhmelidze was named for the vacant position of Minister of Refugees and Accommodation. On an election period ITV video that's been circulating all over the place via Facebook, he says very aggressively, and I quote, "In Tbilisi, every black person who you meet is a citizen, as well as Indians and Chinese and everyone," end quotes, and ends with saying that Georgia must be for Georgians. You know, what I know about the guy is the videos that I've seen recorded, and he seems to be just an incredible jerk. I don't know when I couldn't figure out when those were made, whether it was before the election or after the election, but it'll be interesting to see whether he continues shooting his mouth off in that way. And that's going to be a big test for this government. Do they, you know, are people allowed to make statements like that and, you know, in senior positions? Because under the national movement, they were not, and they very clearly were not. And that's, you know, that's a, you know, something to look at. We have Dato Sergeyenko, who will head the health ministry. He was a pediatrician who graduated from BU and Berlin University. He's worked as the head of the Bidzina-financed and funded medical center in Sachkhere. Khatuna Gogoladze will head the Environmental Protection Ministry. Gogoladze is a biologist with a degree from Central European University in Hungary, as well as a master's degree in public relations from Indiana University. She's worked for Environmental Protection Ministry and as a project coordinator for the OSCE. I'd never heard of her. I asked around about her, and she's got a great reputation.
Yeah, people think she's very capable.
Which is great news. I mean, let's see if the ministry has any power to do anything, but it's certainly great.
She has no political experience, but she seems to be an expert and environmental specialist.
Gheorghe Margvelashvili will head the education ministry. Bidzina says that a state commission for education reform will be set up with members including Nino Goguadze and Dato Zurabashvili. It'll be chaired by famous Georgian physicist Gia Dvali, who is evidently involved in the big European collider atomic gizmo machine.
Right. CERN.
Whatever.
In Switzerland.
Exactly, yeah. That thing. Yeah, Mark Velashvili has been the, you know, worked way back in his career for the National Democratic Institute and was then the head of GIPA, or as it's known now, JIPA, which is an institute of higher learning with many different projects. Regarding health, Sarkey reported on the 12th of October that Bank of Georgia appointed a new financial director, Nikolaos Gamkhelidze. He is the son of the former nominee for health minister Amiran Gamkhelidze, who resigned evidently because of his son's conflict of interest, supposedly. Mayim Imanishvili will be reappointed as the head of the National Examination Center. As you'll remember, reported right here on tabilpod.com, she was much admired in that position and highly respected, was fired by now fled education minister, vacationing former education minister Dima Shashkin. And a bunch of people who worked there quit when she left. Rustavioli reports that the October 14th repeat elections were held in precincts in Khashuri, Gori, and Sikhnahi. The results reported by the CEC are as follows. In Sikhnahi, Gelagelashvili of Georgian Dream got 86%, while UNM candidate Levan Bezashvili received 14%. In Gori, Georgian Dream candidate Malchaz Vakhtangashvili received 92%, while UNM Georgi Tatishvili got 7%. In Khashuri, Valeri Gelashvili of the Georgian Dream received 94%, while Sergo Kitiashvili of UNM got 4%.
He, I think, also had withdrawn his candidacy a couple of days before the election, so it was still on the ballot paper.
Who is this? Sergo?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Gelashvili, as you'll remember, had been beat up in the early days after Shevardnadze's resignation. In total, the Georgian Dream coalition will have 85 members of parliament, and UNM will have 65. Now let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the media. The family of late oligarch Badri Patrakhatsvili regained control over Imedi TV, the station reported on October 16th. Transfer of ownership is not registered yet, and it's not clear if and how the last owners of Imedi TV, Gheorghe Arveladze, 45%, Gheorghe Kochashvili, 30%, and Gheorghe Mikeladze, 30%, Joseph K. Is he, Scott, is he still floating around?
Well, technically he is. Yeah, 10%. I don't know if he's vacationing or what he's doing.
Were compensated for giving up their shares. Imedi did not show a newscast on Wednesday and is using its older logo from Badri's time.
Yeah, so and that was, I think, the big story. Nobody really expected that because Badri's family had signed a settlement with the UNM government like a year ago. They had been, after Badri's death in 2008... when he died in London after running against Misha for president. Basically, the Georgian government used the opportunity to take all their assets in Georgia. And then for several years, the family fought the government with lobbyists and everything they could do. But then last year, they said, okay, we signed a settlement. We're not talking about the settlement. And the assumption was they'd given up Imedi TV and gotten the steel factory, the steel plant in Rustavi back, and then Tatsminda Park. That was the deal, but apparently, you know, now they also got the Imedi back.
Interesting. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they what they do now. If you remember, when the plug was pulled on Imedi, it was plugged as its main newscaster, Gheorghe Targamadze, who had been the main sort of newscaster for Aslan Abashidze back in the day on Ajada TV.
And the head of the Christian Democrats.
And then became head of the Christian Democratic Party. That didn't fare so well in these elections. Sarkey Information Agency reported on October 15th that the acting finance minister, Alexandre Ketaguri, from UNM, announced a new tax amnesty for Georgian broadcasters. Major beneficiaries are likely to be Imedi and Rustavioli. According to documents from the website of the Revenue Service from July, Imedi TV owed some 13.9 million lari and Rustavioli 5.5 million in taxes. In July 2010, Parliament passed a tax amnesty for all Georgian TV stations, which erased 36 million lari in unpaid debt off the books of TV stations.
Yeah, so that's once more a tax amnesty for the people who didn't pay taxes because they were so close to the government that they didn't need to bother about that. And it basically allows Rustavi to operate without a lot of debt that it had accumulated. And maybe it was also done with you know, looking at the transfer of ownership of Imedi TV. Who knows? I think Imedi TV could be interesting because I don't know if the family is on any political side right now. I would assume that they're not very close with either side. I think there's a potential for Imedi to become a somewhat independent station, or at least one that is not directly affiliated with any political side. And I think that's what we're seeing right now, is that, again, the kind of the media sector is largely split. Some people close to the new government and some to the opposition are controlling a number of assets. So this week, for example, Primetime, which is a broadsheet, paper, has been very bad quality. Now said that they're going to focus on, they're going to become more serious, they're going to focus on political coverage, and they will also have investigative reporting, and that's a paper that has been somewhat close to high-level circles in the UNM. And then there's also, for example, Real TV, which has been a propaganda station also close to the outgoing government. This was sold for 30,000 lari this week from somebody who was completely unknown to somebody who was unknown, and we will see what happens with Real TV. This week, the GNCC also said that Stereo Plus, which is a company that has been working for TV9 and has been transmitting their signal, will be fined some 10,000 lari for conducting an illegal transmission. Because right now you can watch, if you have an antenna in Tbilisi, you can watch TV9, although TV9 doesn't have the license it would need for that. Goldencom, which is a company that won a sketchy contract to manage Georgia's broadcasting towers, which are government-owned, a year ago, is now refusing to continue operating these towers, but they have apparently not invested anything in the infrastructure of these broadcasting towers, although they were contractually obliged to invest some $12 million over a period of 4 years.
And as you'll remember, when Tfilpod.com reported on that, we widely mocked the transaction, knowing that they were never going to invest that. We'll have to see if anybody invests in the building that's on the corner of Alexander Chachavadze Street and Rustaveli Avenue that was Geganava's campaign headquarters, that was sold under the same conditions for a very modest amount of money, if I remember correctly, like a million lari or something like that, for this gigantic building, like smack dab in the middle of Tbilisi, with the promise to invest a bunch of money in it.
Yeah. I have a few more. So Tabula, the weekly news magazine, one of the two in Georgia, which is edited by Tamar Cergolishvili, who is also the wife of Giga Bukeria of the National Security Council. Tabula said this week that they're expanding to TV, and the Georgian National Communications Commission already approved that they take over the license of Sakartvelo, which has been a station with close ties to the Ministry of Defense, and they showed mostly action movies. And the station has been officially owned by the brother of the Mtsheta Mtianeti governor, Cesar Ciocelli, who is allegedly also on vacation in Germany these days. Then we already talked about last week about how Dato Kedrashvili bought Rustavi 2 and Mze, or 40% in these two stations, and then a few days later sold it on to somebody named Georgi Kedrashvili. To somebody who is close to
so
to
this Georgi, president, whoever he is close to Misha somehow.
Close to Misha. And so there have been some stories or rumors that, of course, are not confirmed, but some people are saying that the plan was to kind of have a connection between Tabula and Rustavi Ori, but then the people working at Rustavi Ori were not very enthusiastic about that plan, and that's why Kedrashvili kind of sold the shares after a few days again. And then a last one is on Canal Peak on October 15th, the editorial staff there aired a silent protest newscast after the GPB, the Georgian Public Broadcaster, had withheld parts of their salaries and had failed to pay the station's bills. And the PIK has also not been on the satellite for a while because apparently somebody didn't take care of that. The news anchors on the show asked, will the station be shut down and why are our salaries not paid? Why was the budget approved by the Georgian parliament spent before its due time? And where did the money that was supposed to last for a whole year go? And then they kind of had a reporter just standing somewhere in silence. But at least the next morning, apparently the staff from Canal Peak got their salaries. But it is widely expected that Canal Peak will be shut down at the end of the year.
And the last media story, Vanoj Kartashvili, who served as minister under Edward Shevardnadze, left Georgia for London after the Rose Revolution, has been asking for control of Mze, which he claims was illegally seized for him, that he purchased with money that he stole from the Georgian public back in the Shevardnadze era. He recently bought Guria TV for 100,000 lari in cash. And his new media outlet is Mzera TV. According to the Iliauni Seismic Monitoring Center, 7 minor earthquakes were reported in Georgia last week. The largest was 5.4 magnitude on October 14th, the second largest 4.6 on the 13th. The October 14th quake, which had an epicenter just 5 kilometers from the Georgian border in Azerbaijan, damaged several buildings in the Lago Dehi area, though no casualties were reported. People in Tbilisi reported feeling both the quakes, although I didn't. Kavkaz Press News reported on October 18th that the nominated reintegration minister, Pata Zakharashvili, has suggested using more neutral terms to refer to Georgia's breakaway regions. Rather than breakaway Abkhazia, he suggested we should start saying the Abkhaz side.
And we have discussed last week that Zakharashvili appears to be somebody who is very respected in Abkhazia, I guess.
Or
who is
he knows and talks to Abkhaz, which is, you know, puts him in a very tiny proportion. I mean, how many people know him there? I mean, I sometimes worry that he spends a lot of time with the NGO types and whatever, but he certainly knows the area well, and I mean, that's a, you know, step in the right direction. Info9.ge reports that Gigu Alava decided to abolish the Tbilisi Development Fund after last week's Diva strip club scandal, broken by Tpilpa.com. No, not really. We just report on it. We don't really break anything, actually. They reported that some individuals were fired. We tried to find out, but really couldn't find out anything since they weren't answering their phones. When asked to comment, the PR department of the Tbilisi mayor's office said that the fund will continue to function with a new head, David Avaliani, who was appointed today and has stated that he's not going to reduce the number of employees, strangely. Black Sea Press reported on October 15th that Misha, by presidential decree, has extended the ability of dismissed state officials to use diplomatic passports for a year after their dismissal.
Interesting.
Yeah, could be useful. I mean, just be too embarrassing to have to start applying for visas, you know, at the various Schengen offices and everything.
It also ruins your vacation.
Exactly. For sure, you know. I don't know what Teto Giapparizzi has to say about that. Remember, he got his diplomatic passport pulled when he, I don't know, ticked somebody off.
But you can also bring a lot of stuff with a diplomatic passport. Like, you can have a suitcase full of cash, and nobody would look into that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I got to get one of those, man. Livepress.ge reported that Zugdidi City Council meetings were closed to the media and NGOs. The last meeting of the Zugdidi Municipal Council was held on September 26th, but the official webpage has not been updated since June 8th. Sarke Information Agency report on October 15th that Anzor Kokoladze, founder and former owner of Elite Electronics, declared that he will continue to fight with TBC Bank over ownership of the company. TBC Bank released a statement saying that Kokoladze is trying to blackmail the bank into giving him 100% ownership of the bank without repaying an 11 million lari loan. Kokoladze argues that the business was given to TBC through an illegal court decision. Yeah, that's a very thorny case. I mean, he evidently was not a particularly talented manager. There was a lot of shenanigans going on there. But on the other hand, it was one of those things that, you know, he got stung by tax police and then all of a sudden it ends up with TBC. So I don't know. Yeah. But there's two sides to that story.
Right. So a bunch of people who are involved in that now, 3 years later, say, you know, like he stole some money. There's money that disappeared.
Right.
I mean, it's weird that the story now, you know, that we only hear the kind of other side now, 3 years after everybody has been saying, you know, it was basically taken away from him.
Right. Interpress report on October 15th that acting Prime Minister Vano Medveshvili was appointed Secretary General of the United National Movement. City Council of Batumi on September 15th passed two resolutions. While everyone was focused on the elections, one authorizes the council to ignore the national government's urban planning guidelines on how to prepare an urban plan, including the stipulation about mandatory public hearings.
There's a national, like, urban development guideline? Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? I haven't seen it. That'd be fascinating to take a look at. The second sets out land use, zoning, and density rules for the entire coastal strip from Gonio to Sarpi. There were no public consultations on these resolutions, and it appears that this was done so that they can issue a bunch of construction permits before the German dream, before the Georgian dream figures out what's going on.
But September 15, I don't know if they, you know, were like expecting a Georgian dream victory at that point. Maybe they were. I don't know.
I don't know. Batumi, man, that was a pretty, you know. Democracy and Freedom Watch reports that some 3,500 miners, that's a lot of miners, working in six manganese mines in Chiatuta are on strike. Manganese is used in steel production and batteries. They demand higher salaries and improved working conditions. Current salaries are between 200 and 750 lari a month. Chiatuta mines are owned by Georgian Manganese, which is controlled by Privat Group of the Ukrainian oligarch Hannity Bokolubyubov. Last week, miners in the Tribuli coal mine were striking, saying they had not received salaries in 3 months.
Yeah, that's also an issue that the new government could pay more attention to, labor rights and
safety
rules and all that.
Exactly. This in from Black Sea Press. Eka Baselia, elected Poti majoritarian and chairman of the Human Rights Committee, reported on October 15th that Georgian Dream will announce a large-scale amnesty for prisoners. From what I have heard secondhand via the new prosecutor general, every prisoner going back to Shevardnadze's resignation will have the right to write a statement of innocence, and all of them will be assessed. Supposedly.
Yeah, I think they're also planning to have an amnesty for people who were arrested in the recent weeks, you know, allegedly on trumped up charges ahead of the elections.
Yeah, there's certainly plenty of
those. So they're trying to figure out how to do that. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do.
Maestro reported that two workers died and one was injured on October 16th as a result of an avalanche during construction work on a bridge in the village of Misidziri in Kakheti. Rustavioti reported on Tuesday that a Liberty Bank branch was robbed in Isani, in the Isani district of Tbilisi, by masked and armed person who locked branch officials in the bank and took about $4,500. Vesnikavkaza.net reports that on October 15th, Bidzina announced his plans to close all casinos, gaming clubs, and brothels in Batumi since they, quote, damage the reputation of the country, end quote.
I haven't heard that anywhere else, though. I don't know. The casinos, that would be a bold move.
I don't know. There's certainly a lot of them. I wonder about the tax situation there, but, you know, that's...
These guys assumably have contracts from the local government that, you know, tell them you can run the hotel and the casino for 10 years without paying taxes or something like that.
Well, I don't know that. From what I've heard, the tax rates on any gambling things are quite high. But considering the proliferation of them, somebody's making some money. From Sarki Information Agency on October 15th, Premier Vano Medveshvili has reduced the period of Tbilisi City Hall's management of Gudauri Resort from April 2016 to May 2013. Among other responsibilities, this management allows for property privatization and the right to issue construction permits. As you will remember, the Gudauri was added to the Tbilisi municipality in a creepy, weird transaction. When was that? Like a year ago or something?
Yeah, well, a bit more, I think. But they invested a lot in the resort up there, in hotels, new lifts, and everything.
Yeah, there is all sorts of stuff in there. And I think I think it was just a matter of convenience that Tbilisi knew how to do that stuff, and the Gamgeob of Mojave or whatever, like was
Kazbegi or something
didn't. According to news.ge report on October 15th, a man who recorded the infamous Goldani 8 prison video, Vladimir Bedukadze, says the prison videos with the broom are not rape videos, but rather humiliation of a mentally ill inmate. Kvitis Palithra also published an article on the same day about Bedukadze, who apparently was beaten up by Merab Bladadze, TV9 reporter from Objektivi, who prior to this incident was giving Bedukadze shelter in Brussels. Bladadze says that he beat him up because he recognized Bedukadze's voice in the prison videos. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, but it seems like, I don't know, getting pretty nutty between those two. And lots of speculation about that particular video. There was that Lithuanian forensics guy. There was some video of him saying, I think it's not real, whatever. Again, a couple of days ago, NetGazeti.ge reported that the Finance and Budget Committee chairman nominee, Dato Unuprashvili, says that taxes will stay the same. Increased public revenues will come from increased business revenues due to anti-monopoly legislation.
Might be a bit naive to think that, breaking up the 3, 4, 5 cartels in the country will pay for free health insurance, pensions, and unemployment.
Yeah,
benefits.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, there have certainly been a whole lot of promises made to people about increased government expenditures. Unuprashvili is a pretty smart guy, professor at Vanderbilt, and head of the railways for a while, minister of finance under Shevardnadze, but I don't know. I mean, I think like just in terms of fuel, I mean, if, for example, if you took the average gasoline tax for the European Union and applied that in Georgia, that would be a heck of a lot of revenues there. Georgia doesn't get much revenues from gasoline.
Yeah, but that would mean also that a liter of gasoline costs €2.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Get some cars off the street. I'm all for it. This in from Interfax on October 12th, former parliamentary speaker Nino Bourgenadze, remember her? She says that Misha should face a fair trial for his crusade against the opposition. Oh, sorry. Next story. Rustavi 2 TV reported on October 14th that a new garbage collection fee of 7 lari is likely to come into force in Tbilisi soon.
So for everybody...
I guess. Are they going to glue that onto, Oh, no, they're going to pull it out of electricity now. Is that the point?
Right. Or, like, right now you pay basically a quarter of your electricity bill as garbage, which means that sometimes you have to pay, $30, or some people have to pay $30 in the winter.
I'm not so against that, thing. I mean, I think if you use a lot of electricity, it's likely that you generate a lot of garbage. Yes, it's not exactly fair. But on the other hand, 7 lari, there's a huge variance in the amount of solid waste people generate.
Yeah.
So.
But the problem is, if you're a very, very poor family, you live somewhere where you don't have access to the gas network, then you have to heat often with electricity, which, drives up your costs.
Fair enough. Yeah. The Russian Kavkazsky Uzel website reported on October 17th that an arms cache of weapons and ammunition was found near the Mamzishka Mountain in the Gagra district of Abkhazia, on the Abkhaz side. Law enforcement believes that it was intended for Russia. Obsny Press news agency reports on October 11th that Moldova's breakaway Transnistria or Dniester region and Georgia's South Ossetia and Abkhazia have signed an agreement on military cooperation and exchanging security-related information. Whatever. Civil.ge reported on October 12th that another Georgian soldier died in Afghanistan, bringing the death toll to 18. Imedi TV reported that on October 11th, UNM Sakrabulo member Mamuka Gugeshashvili was threatened and physically assaulted by two unidentified people on Kazbegi Avenue in Tbilisi. Afterwards, he received medical treatment at a clinic.
Did we also report, I don't know, I don't think we did, that five Sacrebulo members, formerly of the United National Movement, switched to the Georgian Dream this week, saying basically, you know, they had been suppressed. And they always wanted to join the opposition, well, yeah. But now they're free and they believe in the new government. And they believe that Ivanishvili is not a puppet of the Kremlin. And, you know, they were not sure about all that, but now...
Before, but now, they're, you know, yeah. Now it's okay. Oh, great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... first of all, the Sacrebulo, or the, what do you call it, City Council of Tbilisi is... You know, it's just been an appalling organization. I don't know whether it's because they're so goofy that they were not given any power, or because they had no power, they just became such a joke. But, I mean, they're really ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, then the majority rotated a few opposition MPs who had, like, who chaired committees there. And then whenever they were too critical, like, they were, like, you know,
fired, basically. It was just really, really ridiculous. But, you know, hopefully somebody will talk to Dato Losa Beridze, the guy in Georgia that knows more about local government than anyone else, and you know, there'll be a real plan. And one day, the mayor of Kutaisi will be elected. Rustavioti reported on October 12th that Italy arrested two Georgians for separate robberies in the city of Bari, a port city in southern Italy on the Adriatic. Today, two EU officials arrived in Georgia, pretty senior ones, European Commissioner for Enlargement and Neighborhood Policy, Stefan Füle, and the EU Deputy Foreign Policy Chief, Helga Schmidt. Finger of the week. This week, we flip off whoever gave the order to destroy the interior of the old Georgian parliament. I hope somebody figures that out. If anybody figures that out, will you please write it on our Facebook page or in the forum underneath the thing? Because, I mean, it was done evidently just like, you know, a few weeks before the election, and there was a picture of the interior circulating around Facebook.
Yeah, which is basically, it's impossible to use the old parliament for several months now because there's nothing in it anymore. So even if the constitution has changed to move it back or to keep it in Tbilisi, it will take quite some time and money to fix up the building again.
Yeah, very sad. So, each podcast we feature GeoCapital Number. GeoCapital is Georgia's best microfinance organization. Disclosure, I'm a shareholder, and they kindly give to peoplepod.com an interesting number which lets people know what's going on in Georgia. This week, the number is 135,200. Which is the number of girls between 0 and 4 years old in Georgia at the beginning of this year. This compares to 150,800 boys in the same age category. This is largely due to a consistently higher number of live births of boys than of girls, with 52.3% of kids born in 2011 being boys. These are all geostat numbers. According to the U.S. Center for Disease Control, the sex ratio at birth in most countries is usually between 1,050 and 1,060 male births per 1,000 female births. This puts Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, above China in terms of percentage of male births. Since 2009, this number has varied between 1,044 and 1,097 in Georgia. In 2008, this number was 1,277, pointing to an abnormally high number of boys being born relative to the number of girls.
I don't know if you've heard that as well, but apparently Georgia also has one of the highest abortion rates in the world.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
As with most post-Soviet countries, but yeah, Georgia, I think, still has a very, very high abortion rate.
Yeah. So if anybody has looked into the, you know, issue, if, you know, there's higher abortion of female, you know, babies, or, you know, if that plays a role.
Starting from the data, it seems like certainly a possibility and a tragic one. Announcements. Expat Democrats in Georgia is holding... We are, by the way, on tpeoplepod.com, strictly partisan. We're all Democrats here.
Only allowed into the building with a Biden, Obama button on the shirt.
Exactly. So, you know, if any Republican Romney fans want to have a party, go ahead and do it. We might even announce it if you do or not. I don't know. We'll see. Email it to us. But or post
it's not fun if three people meet, right?
Yeah, I know, three, four. What are you going to do? Why don't you just, you know, go, you know, have a burger somewhere, you know, a triple, you know, cheeseburger at McDonald's or something. So anyway, expat Democrats in Georgia, check the Facebook page. If you look up expat Democrats in Georgia, you'll find it, is holding a Get Out the Vote Obama barbecue on the 24th of October. That's Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you're in Tbilisi, just show up at Betsy's at 7 p.m. with 40 Lotti, get a beer, some wine, burger, hang out. If you're not in Tbilisi, log into Facebook and like expat Democrats in Georgia.
Are there still buttons in Prospero's?
There are buttons, and there will be. There are not buttons in Prospero's because Prospero's evidently had a complaint, and so by
one
of the three Republicans floating around who were annoyed by that, who, you know, in typical Republican fashion, rather than getting some buttons themselves and putting them there, which would have been fine, you know, got all ticked off about it, and so Prospero's took them out. So, if you want a button, and there's still plenty of them, come to Betsy's at 7 o'clock on Wednesday the 24th.
And also foreigners are allowed?
Everyone can come, yes, citizens of anywhere. We encourage black people and Chinese, Austrians, EU citizens,
Georgians. That's open-minded.
Yeah, anybody can show up. The 40 Lotti is not contributed to the campaign.
Right, because that would be illegal.
Because that would be against the law, and we're on the up and up here. However, if you would like to contribute to the Obama campaign, please do that. But most of all, vote, if you're American. If you're not American, you know, vote, but in your own country. Expat Democrats, we did that. Colga movies this week. A fantastic South African movie that I really encourage everybody to see is this Friday, that's tomorrow night, October 19th, District 9. Candy, I don't know anything about that, is Monday, October 22nd. You know anything about Candy?
No, I don't.
The Experiment. Oh, I saw that. That's a great movie. German movie, 2001, Wednesday, October 24th.
Oh, yeah. Das Experiment.
Yeah, Das Experiment. Jawohl. Yeah, Herr Oberleutnant. Yeah, go see that. It's really good. It's a very psychological, creepy, weird, like the Milgren experiment,
right,
kind of, you
right.
know, very, very interesting. I mean, intense, you know, drama, but good. None of the, I don't know about Candy, but District 9 Experiment, not kids' movies, but great. All movies start at 8 o'clock, Dom Kino near McDonald's, are in English or have English subtitles. And the best announcement this week is Bera, Bidzina's rapper son, who, as we know, Guba Sanikidze is not so fond of, is having a concert on October 20th. That would be on Saturday, this coming Saturday at 8 p.m. in Dynamo Stadium. That is free.
Yeah, and if you live anywhere in central Tbilisi and you heard like pickup trucks passing by with like some weird sound and somebody shouting, that's Bera.
Yeah, exactly. Which
Bera's people.
I've never seen one of those trucks before. That's a new. I hope everyone doesn't start using those things now.
You need a bit of cash, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
Not
well,
every Georgian wannabe pop star has the cash to hire Michael Jackson's old producer and record in Paris.
Beta's pop's pretty hooked up. So, good. And good for Beta. You know, I look forward to that concert. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod, tblpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum or our website, which is www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with Freddie Cannon from 1959 and Tallahassee Lassie.